Pick right on up over in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now when we talk about the old man, we're talking about the old nature. The old nature is what? What is the old nature? It's a spiritual nature that's defiled by sin, and so that's the spirit that is void of the presence of God. And when there is a void of the presence of God, there's going to be the works of the flesh. Lying, stealing, cheating. Want us to keep in mind, and this is going to be important as we go on, what was the essence of the Ten Commandments? The first four dealt with our love for God, and the last six dealt with our love for our fellow man. And in those commandments, those were moral, ethical guidelines that people were not living under, just under the law. They weren't able to live to those Ten Commandments. Is that right? So I want us to understand, as we go on and we talk about what comes then when we possess the Spirit of the Lord, and then how does that relate to our humanity, we have to understand that Jesus came to enable us to live without sin or without violating the moral code of conduct that was given under the Ten Commandments. We don't live under the Ten Commandments. Christ brought grace, didn't he? But what it means is then, and I don't want to spend too much time on it at this juncture, but the point is that salvation restored us to a condition of communion with God that enabled us to live a moral life because of our communion with God. It means that we still have the flesh to contend with. We still have our humanity to battle. We still have the natural characteristics and weaknesses and strengths that were passed down in our genes, so to speak, or in our genetics. We still have those things to contend with, but now, under the grace of Christ, we have the ability to never tell a lie. Under grace, we have the ability to never commit adultery. We have the ability to love God with all of our heart. We have the ability to not covet. We have the ability to do those things that they could not do under the old law. Does that make sense? We can go through and talk about sin, and the world does it and tries to define sin such that no person can live free from it. But we must understand that the sin that we live free from are the moral violations that separate us from God. If you have been saved and you have the Holy Spirit, and have you ever been impatient? There are some that would say you have sinned. I would say now you're dealing with some of the natural man that under the nurture and the nature of God that he wants us to grow in. But understand, there is a difference from sin that's by definition that would separate us from God, in those natural human weaknesses that we are in a growing process in. Salvation is a divine work of God that we cannot do for ourselves. I will say, someone that is saved does not lie. Doesn't happen. If someone tells a lie, it tells me they're not saved. And I've had people profess to be sanctified that have told untruths. They don't have the Lord. It sounds straight. It sounds hard. But folks, when we have put off the old man, we do not tell lies. We do not cheat. We do not steal. We do not covet. There are still temptations to do those things. There are still, because that's what the nature of temptation. God still put a tree in our life. Issue a choice, an alternative course of action. But when he said here to put off the old man, he said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man is not something I can put off by my own willpower.
See, this is where salvation is an experience of grace. That's why the New Testament teaches repeatedly that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. This is the crux of that theology. This is the crux of it. Because I can't be good enough to save myself. I can't be saved. I can't do enough good things to bring me into the presence of God. I come into the presence of God when God comes into me. It's a divine work that He does. So He said, put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, all of the nurture that we can be under, all of the environment, all of the good practices and the good principles and the good code of moral ethics that we might have, we will never come into the presence of God unless there is a divine work of God in our spirits. Therein is the change. If you want to talk about a change in nature, it comes from the presence of God. I'm still in the flesh. I still have my humanity. I still have my weaknesses that got from mom and dad as well as all the good things. It sounds like mom and dad are bad things. I'm talking about the earthly, fleshly things that are passed down. Understand that. That there is an ability then through the new man, through Jesus Christ, that we can go and live differently than we did before. That's a divine, miraculous work of God, and we could not live that way under the Old Testament dispensation. It took the grace of Jesus Christ. It was not environment, it was not nurture. We're talking about something different in my heart. What's different? It's not that the Lord came in and changed my DNA. It's not that the Lord comes along and says, okay, Michael, you're saved now, you're not Michael anymore. I'm going to get up from the altar and I'm still Michael. But now I have something. I'm getting up with something complete that was vacant before. I have the presence of God in my heart. And that means then that although I still have temptation, now I have something within me that I've been forgiven of my sins. I have the presence of God that will enable me to live an acceptable life in Jesus Christ. So how can we have this new man? I quoted the scripture Sunday, but I went back and read it and thought we need to just read it. How can we get this new man then? What has to happen? Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, that's a little hint.
We must be born again. So the first time we were born, we were in the image of God in the sense that we have a soul. We have a spirit. And we'll let the word of God divide between soul and spirit. My burden's not to do that this morning or today. But understand that we have an eternal soul. We have a spirit that the Lord wants to fill. But when we're born, we don't have a spirit. We're not possessed with it. So then that means that it is our earthly nature that is in control, right? Because our earthly nature is void of the presence of God. And if some things, if the Lord could just help stir some things up in your mind this week, meditate upon it. It doesn't just all click right now. It's all right. But understand that when we are born, we do not have the presence of God in our heart. And so that means that what drives my choices, what drives my decision, is my earthly nature. But when I am born again, let's turn and read it, because this
is another scripture, and if you see the scripture differently, I'm not going to argue with you, okay? But let's just read it. And read for understanding. You know, sometimes we hear scripture so often that we don't stop and say, what is he really saying? I think Jesus was pretty clear here, but I also know the majority of the teaching on this subject has been taken another way, and I'm not going to quibble with anybody about it, but I do believe there's some more things for us to get out of it. In the fourth chapter of John, the third chapter of John, Jesus was reading or speaking to Nicodemus, and he said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now what do we have when we're born? That's not nurture, right?
When we're born, we're talking about nature, right? Our genetic predisposition, what we get from mom and dad, what's passed down. When we are born, we have a lot of possibilities, right? We have a lot of possibilities. Again, within this range, within our nature, we have a lot of possibilities, and our nurture is what makes the difference. But Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. In other words, unless you put off the old man and put on the new man, a new birth. And so he went on, and Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? You know, how can I get a new nature? I am who I am. How can I be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Understand the context of Jesus' response. Nicodemus' question was this. To be born again, do I have to go back in my mother's womb and have a natural birth? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born. Now, he's drawing an analogy, right? He's talking about the natural birth and the spiritual birth. Nicodemus said, can I have another natural birth? How can I be born again? And Jesus said, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you can't go to heaven. You must first be born of water. You must first have a natural birth. You must first be conceived. And secondly, to see the kingdom of God, you must have a spiritual birth. Because listen, let me just read on. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Nicodemus' question had to do with the natural birth, and Jesus' response was, be born of water, be born of the Spirit, and Jesus clarified what he was saying. Natural birth and spiritual birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. In other words, and I don't take exception to it because there are other scriptures that teach this, okay? We are washed by what? There's a scripture that says we are washed by the water of what? Of the Word. The Word of God. We are washed by the water of the Word. But do you know being washed by the water of the Word is not a one-time experience? That starts getting into nurture now. Do you understand? When we're born, there's an instant. I mean, we're either born or not born, right? In other words, it's something that's not just prolonged, you know, year after year after year. What takes place year after year after year is our growth. That's nurture. We are washed by the water of the Word, not one time. I can't come down to the altar and open up my Bible and read it real fast and say, I have just been washed by the water of the Word, and get up and never need this again. This is where we start. This is where our growth process in the Lord takes place. As we read, and it enlightens me, and it shows me myself, and I see needs in my life, and I say, Lord, that's my heart. I say amen to it, Lord. I need more help there. And we have a power within us to enable us to grow. So when Jesus said, you must be born of water, some will exclusively say he was speaking of the washing of water, the water of the Word. I would take another step and say that based on the context, my personal understanding of this scripture is, and I may be in the minority here, but my personal understanding of this scripture contextually is, that there's a natural birth and there's a spiritual birth. Natural birth of water, spiritual birth of the Spirit. And then after we are born, see, we are washed in the water of the Word continuously as we keep our heart right before God. And so that means then that Jesus was addressing, how do we have this new birth to get this new nature? It doesn't take away my genetics. But what it does is He fills me with his Spirit. He forgives me of my sin. He cleans me up. And the scripture says over in Ezekiel, I'll just give you the reference, 36, he said, a new heart will I give you. Does the Lord literally come in when he gets saved and give us a fleshly new heart? He doesn't do that, does he? He's speaking spiritually. That's what the spiritual nature is all about. It does not remove, if I've already said it once, I know I have, I'm going to say it again. It does not remove our humanity. What it does is gives us something we didn't have that changes the inclination of our spirit. The inclination before we have the Spirit is towards the flesh.
But after I have been born again and I've had a new birth, I've been filled with God, I've been filled with His Spirit, I'm still Michael, but now I possess something I didn't have before. What do I have? I have the power of God that enables me to crucify the flesh. It enables me to grow. It enables me to prosper in that way. He said then, I will give a new heart will I give you and a new spirit. This is the prophets, and it's repeated different places. And I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take out the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, when we come to the Lord defiled, we recognize I'm in sin, and I'm like Paul, I'm struggling, and I feel a warring, and I want to do good, and I can't. I need a new birth. I need a new nature. What does that mean? It means that God gives me a new heart and a new spirit. I'm going to come into your spirit. I'm going to possess your vessel. And there, I'm going to clean your vessel up first by the blood of Jesus. And then He wants to come in and fill us with His Spirit. And therein, that enables us. You want to talk about a different nature? It enables us to live differently, doesn't it? It enables us to live free from sin. It does not enable us to live free from every human weakness. It enables us to live free from those violations that separate us from God, because God can only dwell in a clean vessel. He can only dwell in that kind of vessel, but when we have His Spirit within us, it's an enabling power. For this cause, let's turn then and read over in 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Now this is another wonderful scripture talking about nature now. He said, according as His divine power. Now whose power did it say? Our own? It said His. According to His divine power hath given unto us all things. Now, that pertain unto life and godliness. I have to operate as Michael now in the flesh, within the parameters that were given to God. That was my genetic nature. I have to operate, right? Only jump so high, I look like I look, and there are behaviors, and I stand like I stand, and then I came by it truly. You know this little saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? It's because we're operating within those parameters that were passed down. But now Jesus is talking about a spiritual nature. He's talking about a spiritual birth, and He said now, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the Lord has just given me a new set of spiritual genes, so to speak, because of the, not literally now, but the Lord has just changed the parameters of my behavior, and He's given me everything that I need to live a successful Christian holy life. Does that make sense? See, He's given us all things. My parents did not give me all things that pertain to jumping high. That's just I just pulled that one out of the hat and I keep using it. But they did not give me that ability. I don't have it. I'm naturally stunted. You understand? I'm limited. Because they didn't give me adequate if I wanted to be a high jumper. But Jesus says, or the scripture says, He's given unto us all things. Folks, this is where in Christ we are not limited and have to say, well, my dad was that way and my grandpa was that way. I can't help it. Now I've been born again and I have the Spirit of the Lord, and His promise to us was, I've given you all things that you need that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And He went on to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. For what purpose? That by these you might be partakers of what? Of the divine nature. Now we're talking about our nature now. The Lord said, the scripture said, I've given you great and precious promises that by those you can be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, do you see then why it's so important that we be born again?
You see, this message is not just about go to the church of your choice and be a better person. This is about come and have a new birth, be born again in the Lord, that you can access all of the divine nature of Jesus Christ.
Something else that's with that then, what are some of those promises? These great and precious promises that by those you might be a partaker of the divine nature. What are some of the two most wonderful promises that we have? The day of Pentecost, remember they were pricked in their conscience and they were pricked in their heart and they said, what must we do?
What do we need to do to be saved? What must we do? And the response was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Folks, the message of forgiveness of sin and cleansing through the blood of Jesus and then the promise of the Holy Spirit. By those two, we can be partakers of the divine nature of God in a spiritual sense.
Does that make sense? He went on to say, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance to temperance. And he goes through this list. Does that fall under the nature and nurture part of this? He started with the nature, didn't he? He started. He said, we have promises that you can partake of his divine nature. And then besides that, first do that. Now we're going to get into the nurture and we can start adding to and adding grace or adding faith and temperance. Those are things that we grow in the Lord after we have been a partaker of his presence in our life. And again, this is where a holy environment won't save us. This is where we cannot, and I said it the other day, we cannot raise saints. We can't do it. We can teach them, and we'll, again, that's later. So now, what is the difference between the human nature and the spiritual nature? Our DNA is still the same after we've been born again, right? We still have the same personality to a large extent. We have the same behavior patterns. Just about, you know, how you smile and how some people are quieter and some people are a little more talkative and some people respond to things differently. Folks, the Lord never desired for all of us to be a carbon copy of each other. What He wants us to do is take us how He created us with our humanity, and He wanted to give us His Spirit. He wanted to forgive us, give us His Spirit, that we can be a partaker of His divine nature. That we can begin, we can instantaneously through His divine work, we can live free from sin because of the new birth. It's because of the new birth that takes place. But we're still human, right? So we still have temptations. We are still, we still battle the flesh. But now with the spiritual nature, we have the ability and the power to say no to self. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, give me a little bit, a few more minutes tonight, this afternoon. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, some people would teach and promote that if you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can't backslide. But I want us to understand that we are still in the flesh. We still, all of us will, until the day we die, we have the propensity to sin. We understand that? Adam and Eve have it in the garden. Their children have it, and I have it. We have the propensity or the ability to sin because that's a choice that I'm making, that I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to choose to partake of that tree. So Paul said, I keep under my body. I still have to daily, even with my new spiritual nature, I have to die out to myself and daily yield and submit myself to the power of God. The thought that if you were spiritual, you wouldn't be tempted like that, that's the devil. Because we're still in the flesh. So let's not ever allow the enemy to cause us to think that if we were saved or if we really had the Spirit, that we wouldn't battle some of the things that we battle sometimes. That we would never have any human weakness. There is a difference, and I think I gave a lesson on it years ago here. Maybe it's time to do it again. But there is a difference between human perfection and spiritual perfection. Spiritual perfection is, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is reigning in my life, and I love the Lord with all of my heart. That's my love. That's spiritual perfection. Human perfection is not attainable in this life because we're still in the flesh. Human perfection is that that we would have all wisdom and all knowledge and never mess up and never fail and never stumble and never... The Lord's going to be working on us until the day we die, folks. And if we get to the place that we think we've arrived and I'm just perfect, we're going to be in the condition that one of the churches there in Revelation, when he said, you say that you're rich and increased with goods, and he said, you're naked and blind and wretched. You need to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. In other words, folks, God's working on us till the day we die. That does not mean that we're not perfect in the eyes of God. Perfection is the Lord, my heart's yours. I've been forgiven of my sins. I have the power of the Lord in my life, but I still have to bring my body under subjection. Remember Paul and Barnabas when they were preaching to the people and the people thought they were gods, Jupiter, I believe one of them thought was Jupiter, and they began to worship them. And Paul and Barnabas, and I love the message that they preached that day. They cried out with a loud voice and they were telling the people to stop. They said, we are men of light passion. In other words, we're men just like you. We're in the flesh. We're tempted. We have passions just like you do. But the difference is in the power of Jesus Christ. That is what the spiritual birth is about. That is what spiritual perfection is. And I want to conclude this afternoon with one other thought, and that will conclude generally our what we're going to bring out about the nature. The Scripture says over in Acts 1 and 8, and I know we studied it last year and we didn't finish, but Jesus said, you shall receive power after what? After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Do you remember in our lesson, going back to the simplicity of the Scripture, laying down everybody's theological ideas and just seeing what the Bible says about it? Remember what the Holy Spirit came to do? What he came to do? He came to give us power. That's what Jesus said. We can complicate it if we want, and we do. But Jesus said, when you get the Holy Spirit, he said, you're going to have power. In other words, I'm going to equip you. I am going to provide you with what you need to go and live a holy life. I'm going to enable you when Michael rises up, and he does. I'm going to give you power by my Spirit to set Michael right back down. Michael's still there. I'm still human. I still have weaknesses. I still have needs. The Lord's working on it. But he said, with my Spirit, he said, I'm going to give you power for being able to partake of that divine nature of Jesus Christ, that we can say no to the flesh and say yes to Jesus Christ. I remember reading C.W. Naylor. He said once he received the Holy Spirit, he had some battles. They were battles in the flesh, I believe, based on the way he wrote it. He was struggling with some things of the passions of the flesh. And that was based on what he wrote. And he said he thought, if I can just get the Holy Spirit, I won't have these problems anymore. And he gave his heart to the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what he found? Old C.W. Naylor was still there. But he found power. He found the ability to say no, even though he still had some of the same struggles. But he wasn't giving in anymore, see? Without the power of God in our life, we will not have the ability to live a consistent, holy life. But it is when we have the equipment, when we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, in being able to be a partaker of his nature that enables us to do that. In other words, I'll put it this way. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, when we come and we are born again, we're justified, we have been forgiven of our sins. Is that right? The Lord cleans us up. I don't have a cup up here, but we're cleaned up. And now, something needs to fill it.
And if we don't fill it with the Holy Spirit, we're going to find that we don't have the power. We can live saved for a while, but do you know people that don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, that power, they're going to come up to a crossroads in their life, they're not going to have the power to stay faithful to God. God's plan was not these 3 years, not 10 years. His plan was that we come and be forgiven, and the next step, go out and be baptized, first act of obedience, and come say, Lord, I need to be filled with your Spirit. That was the plan of God. It was a complete plan. And so then, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is more about what comes in than what comes out. You get that? The infilling of the Holy Spirit is more about what comes in than what comes out. People get on a slippery slope when they say, well, if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll take out some roots. Just a minute. What causes us to be tempted? It's the flesh. The Holy Spirit does not take out the propensities of the flesh. He gives us power over them. The Holy Spirit does not remove the propensity that I have to still disobey, because folks, God still has a tree in our life. That's what the power of choice is all about. So what the Holy Spirit is about, at least in the words of Jesus, I'll just quote him if you don't like it. Jesus said, you shall receive power. That's what he said. And in that sense, then, that is the nature of the purging that takes place. It doesn't remove my humanity. It doesn't remove my genetic personality or my genetic makeup or my weaknesses, but it gives me a spiritual strength that I can say no to Michael and yes to the Holy Spirit and yes to God. I trust that's clear, because there have been splits and divides in churches and movements down through the years on this very subject. And unfortunately, the way that this subject has been taught through the years, and I'm speaking personally, now I speak it by permission, not by commandments, and that is that it has caused a lot of confusion in a lot of people's minds. Jesus said, you will receive power. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. Why did he have to do that? If the Holy Spirit takes everything out that makes us human, then why would we still have that? Why are we still tempted? Because the Lord still wants us to serve him because we love him. Under the law, we still fail. People could praise and worship to an extent, but they didn't have power to live even to the law. But now with the grace of Jesus Christ, I can be born again, I can be filled with his Spirit, and now by his power, I can say no to myself. Dying daily, that death is not then a one-time work, the spiritual birth is. But daily then, I have to still yield to that power that is within me, that I can live acceptably to God. I wrote something down that the Lord gave me quite a while back, this subject of what happens in sanctification. And this is how the Lord gave it to me. Of sense. That our new nature will never take away our propensity to sin. We're still in the flesh, but after being born again and being filled with the Spirit, our inclination is to holiness. And I want to explain what that means before I sit down. It means that when we are born, we do not have the presence of God in our life. And because of that void in our spirit, I can't hardly but help myself by doing that. Isn't that right? So I always have the propensity. You understand, propensity is the capability. In whatever state, as long as we're alive, we have the propensity or the capability to sin, because we always have a choice. But before we're saved, before we have the Holy Spirit, there is an inclination or shift in our hearts towards the things of this world. But when we have the Holy Spirit within us, our focus then, our inclination is towards the things of God now, because we're partaking of his nature. I still have the flesh. I still have to battle that. But my focus now is not, I'm not just always drawn to the things of the flesh now. Now it shifts my focus and my inclination towards holy things while I still have battles and while we still have weaknesses and needs. And then that brings us to the place of nurture where we begin to grow. Are there any questions this morning about what I've said or this afternoon? Focusing on spiritual nature. Because after we're born again, that's when the growth starts. That's when the environment starts taking place. And that's for later. But for today,
We've covered, some may think long, some in brief. Depends on how deep you wanted to go. But talking about our nature and who we are and what we are before salvation and after it.